So reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by Srila Prabhupada, and been requested to speak on 529. Huh? No, but Parvati asked me to speak again on this verse. Is that all right? We better do what Parvati says. She's listening on the microphone. Well, she asked me to do it again. So I'll do what she says. It'll come out different anyway. So if we've all done it before, well, we'll just go line by line then. Bhuktaram yagatapasam Savaloka Maheshvaram Suridam Sarvabhutanam Yadvamam Shantim Ritshati Bhuktaram Yagitapasam Savaloka Maheshvaram Suridam Sarvabhutanam Yadvamam Shantim Ritshati Bhuktaram Yagyatapasam Savaloka Maheshvaram Suridam Savabhutanam Yadvamam Shantim Ritshati. Okay. Bhuktaram Yagitavasam Savaloka Maheshvaram Suridam Sarvabhutanam Gadvamam Shanti Mritshati Bhuktaram Yagitavasam Savaloka Maheshvaram Suridam Sarvabhutanam Gavamam Shantim Ritshati Bhuktaram Yagyatapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram Suridam Sarvabhutanam Gavamam Shantim Ritshati. So, please repeat, Bhuktaram, the beneficiary, Yajna of sacrifices, Tapasam, and penances and austerities, Savaloka, of all planets and the demigods thereof, Maheshwaram, the Supreme Lord, Suridam, the benefactor, Sarva, of all, Bhutanam, the living entities, Yatva, thus knowing, Mam, me, Lord Krishna, Shantim, relief from material pangs, Richati, one achieves. Translation, Srila Prabhupada. A person in full consciousness of me, knowing me to be the ultimate beneficiary of all sacrifices and austerities, the Supreme Lord of all planets and the demigods, and the benefactor and well-wisher of all living entities, attains peace from the pangs of material miseries. Please repeat, a person in full consciousness of me, knowing me to be the ultimate beneficiary of all sacrifices and austerities, the Supreme Lord of all planets and demigods, and the benefactor and the well-wisher of all living entities, attains peace from the pangs of material miseries. Purport, Srila Prabhupada. The conditioned souls within the clutches of the illusory energy are all anxious to attain peace in the material world, but they do not know the formula for peace, which is explained in this part of the Bhagavad Gita. The greatest peace formula is simply this: Lord Krishna is the beneficiary in all human activities. Men should offer everything to the transcendental service of the Lord, because he is the proprietor of all planets and the demigods thereon. No one is greater than he. He is greater than the greatest of the demigods, Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. In the Vedas, Svetasvara Upanishad 6.7, the Supreme Lord is described as Tam Ishvaranam Paramam Maheshwaram. Under the spell of illusion, living entities are trying to be lords of all they survey, but actually they are dominated by the material energy of the Lord. The Lord is the master of the material energy, and the conditioned souls are under the stringent rules of material nature. Unless one understands these bare facts, it is not possible to achieve peace in the world, either individually or collectively. This is the sense of Krishna consciousness. Lord Krishna is the supreme predominator of all living entities, including the great demigods. Is the supreme predominator, and all the living entities, including the great demigods, are his subordinates. One can attain perfect peace only in complete Krishna consciousness. This fifth chapter is a practical explanation of Krishna consciousness, generally known as Karma Yoga. The question of mental speculation as to how Karma Yoga can give liberation is answered herewith. To work in Krishna consciousness is to work with the complete knowledge of the Lord as the predominator. Could you close those windows, please? Excuse me. Because there's a lot of noise coming from the lobby, particularly. And the one behind you, that'd be good. Such work is not different from transcendental knowledge. Direct not Krishna consciousness is bhakti yoga, and jnana yoga is a path leading to bhakti yoga. Krishna consciousness means to work in full knowledge of one's relationship with the Supreme Absolute, and the perfection of this consciousness is full knowledge of Krishna, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A pure soul is the eternal servant of God as his fragmental part and parcel. He comes into contact with Maya illusion due to the desire to lord it over Maya, and that is the cause of his many sufferings. As long as he is in contact with matter, he has to execute work in terms of material necessities. Krishna consciousness, however, brings one into spiritual life even while one is within the jurisdiction of matter, for it is an arousing of spiritual existence by practice in the material world. The more one is advanced, the more he is freed from the clutches of Maya. Of matter. The Lord is not partial toward anyone. Everything depends on one's practical performance of duties in Krishna consciousness, which helps one control the senses in every respect and conquer the influence of desire and anger. And one who stands fast in Krishna consciousness, controlling the above-mentioned passions, remains factually in the transcendental stage or Brahma Nirvana. The eightfold yogic mysticism is automatically practiced in Krishna consciousness, because the ultimate purpose is served. There is a gradual process of elevation in the practice of yama, niyama, asana, pranayama, pratyahara, dharana, jhana, and samadhi. But these only preface perfection by devotional service, which can alone award peace to the human being. It is the highest perfection of life. Jai Srila Prabhupada. Makam karochila mahatalam pangam laite grim yar kripatam ahambande sri guru dinatarinam buktaram yogitapasam savaloka maheshwaram suridam sarvabhutanam gatva mam shantim richati. A person in full consciousness of me, knowing me to be the ultimate beneficiary of all sacrifices and austerities, the Supreme Lord of all planets and demigods, and the benefactor and well-wisher of all living entities, attains peace from the pangs of material miseries. So this is Krishna. We've been explaining in previous weeks how this chapter particularly talks about the consciousness of a devotee. Remember, he's free of all the dualities, he's very balanced. Why? Because he's situated in transcendental knowledge. So transcendental knowledge will put you into samadhi. But at the same time, you should follow regulative principles. You shouldn't indulge in material sense enjoyment in an unregulated way, because that will distract you from achieving samadhi. But this samadhi is natural because the soul is spiritual, so therefore it is natural for the soul to be in samadhi. Samadhi means to perceive the spiritual platform, like Prabhupada was explaining at the end. The purpose of Ashtanga Yoga is to put you into samadhi. If you remember, Prabhupada is quoting there because that's what the next chapter will be about. You see, the last three, dharana, jhana, samadhi. Dharana means, actually, that's the wrong way around. It should be jhana, dharana, samadhi. Jhana means contemplation. Dharana means unbroken concentration. And samadhi means fixed consciousness. So all those preliminary things, yama, niyama, asana, pranayama, pratyahara, dharana, they are all to withdraw the senses from matter. The basic principle of all yoga practice is to withdraw the attention from matter and fix it on spirit. It's as simple as that. So this material world is a mixture of two things, right? Matter and spirit. So the materialist, he concentrates on matter. He wants to achieve control over matter, as Prabhupada says, so to enjoy. He claims proprietorship. Under moha, illusion, the false ego is that, aham mamati, I am this material body, and the things related to this body, my watch, my recorder, these are mine. And then I should use these things, the body and my relatives, my country, my money, my bank balance, to enjoy. Right? So he's claiming mamati, these are mine. But we see in the Ishupanishad, Ishvasha idam sarvam yat kinchat jagajam jagat tena tak tena punjita Magida, that everything in this universe is controlled and owned by the Lord. Therefore you should only accept what is coming as your own quota and not desire other people's property. But relative to this, Ishvasha idam sarvam, everything is actually controlled by the Supreme Lord. There's one religion now that's charging all over the world and saying we're going to conquer the world for their version of God, all right? But actually, God is already in perfect control. So you're doing something that's completely unnecessary. He's already the supreme controller. He's already controlling every atom and molecule. You don't have to do these abominable things. You just have to realize that everything is already under the control of God. That's why it's existing in the first place. Are you thinking that something is existing without the control of God and you have to exert through your particular means control on behalf of God? This is your illusion. Everything is controlled and owned. Why? Because it's the creation of the Supreme Lord. So that includes us, right? That, so all the paraphernalia that we, under illusion, call to be our own is actually not ours, because we are owned by the Supreme Lord, and therefore anything that we own is owned by Him by default. So to recognize this is very important. And then you can have the peace formula. As long as people exert a sense of I am mine, this is mine, then there will be individual and collective competition, right? This is my country. No, it's not. I conquered it 500 years ago. This is my land. It's written in a book that God is going to give it to me. Well, that was 5,000 years ago and you wrote the book. Why? So, these illusions, these always claiming the material energy or some portion of the material energy, just leads to conflict. So the answer to that, we see now, particularly in Kali Yuga, right? There's so much conflict, it's like, I don't know how many countries in the world aren't involved in some kind of conflict here and there. There's about 200 and something countries in the world. It'd be interesting to find out how many are not involved in some kind of internal or external conflict. And the basis of this is they're claiming proprietorship. So this conflict tendency can be placated in the world when we realize it already belongs to the Supreme Lord. And we respect other people as belonging to the Supreme Lord. Otherwise, we'll just think, this is my land, it's good, and the cow is my food. Right? The brothers of this country, the people of this country are my brothers and sisters. But Krishna says, Sarva Loka Maheshwaram, everyone is his, under him. So, where is the question of peace if you're claiming human beings are my brother and then the animals are my food? So, in many ways, this conception that the Supreme Lord is Ishvasha Idam Sarvam, he's the controller and he is the owner. It's not mamati, it's not mine. Only this understanding can placate this. So the transcendentalist is that person who, through his meditation on spirit, like I say, the transcendentalist is the person who takes the milk out of the water, the Paramahansa. He's living in this material world, but his attention is on spirit. The materialist, his attention is on the matter. And of course there are false philosophies saying that spirit is created by matter, but that is just their demoniac ignorance. No, you can see that there are items like this table. Of course this is Vrindavan, so it's questionable. But there is unconscious matter in this world and there is conscious matter, consciousness. Consciousness is spirit and matter is unconscious. So therefore, the transcendentalist knows this and he concentrates on spirit. And he concentrates on the consciousness of people rather than the body of people. So he doesn't think, this is my friend, this is my enemy. Thinks, they're all spirit souls within the material body. Therefore that we're all family members. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Ammata, Ampita, Am Pitamaha. I am the seed-giving father. That means he is the creator of the soul. He is the father. He is so... How to pay attention to the soul? Very simple. By looking at the consciousness of people. We were discussing in the Uddhava Gita. That's why I brought the Kindle. In the Uddhava Gita, let me see. I'll just look it up. Yeah. Yes. Oh, anyway, it's too complicated. But at the beginning of chapter 7, canto 11, Krishna explains that I am present in all living beings in two ways. We talked about this, chapter 7, and this is the start of his instructions to Uddhava. I'm conscious, I'm present personally, and I'm present as the living entity. Because the living entity is Krishna's expansion. So we don't have to, if we want to become transcendentalist, imagine something distant in that way. Krishna is already within the heart of all living entities, and the consciousness is manifest before us. The consciousness, the actions of consciousness, is the thinking, feeling and willing. Huh? Whereas the matter is just the cloak of the consciousness. But without this understanding that Uddhava gets from Krishna at the beginning of that seventh chapter, then we just concentrate on the bodily platform. And we stay on the platform, I like this person, I don't like this person. I like this country, I don't like this person. The dualities of the material world, this is what Uddhava is taught by Krishna. You have to rise, and it's throughout the Gita also. One who concentrates upon the Supreme enjoys unlimited happiness. So the people that concentrate on matter in this material world, they don't get unlimited happiness. They only get this bewildered, befuddled consciousness of friends and enemies, yin and yang, black and white, good and bad. But the devotee who concentrates on the Supreme Lord within the heart and within the heart of all living beings and sees that all living entities are the expansions and dear to Krishna, he becomes a Vaishnava. If we're still on the bodily platform, thinking of people in terms of their body, then at best we're Kanishtadhikari. The difference between Kanishtadhikari or Vaishnava Bas and Vaishnava Praya, they're given that, or Pakrita Bhakta, materialistic devotee, is knowledge. They don't know how to practice bhakti. So this conception is so important that if you actually want to cross from the material energy to the spiritual energy, you have to have this conception that from now on I will concentrate on spirit. And I will train myself to see spirit. And how do you awaken this ability to see spirit? Through Shastra, the knowledge given in Shastra, the Gita, Bhagavatam, and by combining that with Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. So that's why Prabhupada coined this term, Krishna consciousness. Because the ultimate perception of spirit is Krishna in Golok. But we learn that perception at the beginning of seeing Krishna within our sphere of existence, within our environment. You can practice. You go to the temple, sit under the tree, and instead of thinking, oh, these people are noisy, well, they are all noisy, and they shouldn't behave like that in a temple, but you can concentrate on spirit. and then you'll enter samadhi. This is the practice that we must pursue. Or else we stay kanishtadikari. We just stay materially with that material vision of duality, and we don't see Krishna present within all living entity. And then we think, oh, this person is from Orissa and I'm from Bengal. I don't like people from Orissa. This person is a foreigner and this is my land. What's he doing here? And all these different variations will come to our mind. This shows that we're not yet a Vaishnav, frankly speaking. We're not yet seeing the spirit. And that is the platform of Majjhimadhikari, at which point one can actually claim to be a Vaishnav or a neophyte Vaishnav. Three levels of Vaishnav are mentioned by Bhaktivinoda: Vaishnav, Vaishnav Tara, and Vaishnav Uttam, Tama. So the Vaishnav starts at Majjhimadhikari and it develops upward. And then the Vaishnav, by concentrating on spirit, actually develops his own spiritual relationship. But if we concentrate on matter and the distinctions within matter, and we become embroiled with material solutions to material problems, then we stay on the mundane platform. But here Prabhupada is explaining in his purport what is the solution to all the problems, and that is to placate the false idea, the false ego, that I am a product of matter and the things of matter are mine to enjoy within my sphere. And the result of that is we lament, right? Because we try to enjoy, thinking I'm this body, the things of this body are mine, and therefore I will enjoy in that way. But actually sense enjoyment, particularly unregulated sense enjoyment, never gives satisfaction to the spirit soul. So that's why we say the transcendentalist enjoys unlimited happiness, Krishna says, because he concentrates on the Supreme. And he realizes the Supreme, who is Satchidananda Vigraha. Therefore he enjoys that bliss and knowledge, Satchidananda. He becomes in communication with that. Whereas if we concentrate with matter, then we will go to matter at the time of death. Therefore the eighth chapter is there, attaining the Supreme. You must concentrate. So this verse here, Krishna gives this peace formula of people concentrating on matter and how we can do that. First, we should understand that Krishna is the source of everything. Bhuktaram yogya tapasam. So bhukta means the enjoyer. Once we understanding that this is the spirit that I'm concentrating in this material world, then we should understand, okay, Krishna is the ultimate source of spirit, so he's the enjoyer of his creation. As I say, we take the role of enjoyer when we're under the material energy, and we think, I'll enjoy these things, the body and the paraphernalia of the body, the country of the body, the expanded family, and so on. But Krishna is the enjoyer. That means everything, yajna tapasam. Now, if you remember that famous verse that Krishna repeats twice, he says, manmanab of a madbhakto madjaji. Yaji means that you do all your duties, all your activities, getting ready for Mangalarti, cleaning, preaching, whatever it is, whatever material duties, Prabhupada mentions them in the purport, you do it as an offering to Krishna. Right? Like you're taking shower, Mangalarti, brushing your teeth. Why? Because you want to be clean when you go before the Supreme Lord. So this is yajna. This is preparation for yajna. So it is yajna. It's part of the yajna. So the whole of life becomes yajna in this way. And then tapasam. Tapasam means voluntary control of the mind, body and senses. Tapasya, austerity. That's the first word, if you remember, spoken in the material world. Lord Brahma, he awoke to consciousness, he came out of susupti, but he didn't understand, what is my source? So this is what people ask, particularly they say, where you come from, right? Whenever you meet somebody, what is your source? It's natural. So when we understand our source is Krishna, we become attracted. We lose our sense of competitiveness with the Supreme Lord, our sense of independence, our sense of rebellion. Just like when you understand who is your father, you appreciate, this is my father, he took care of me. He brought me into this material world. We're talking material example here, right? My mother, she looked after me. She's my source, my father's my source. So even if you have some disturbance in relationship with your mother and father, you never break that relationship. You always know it's there. Because mother and father is an eternal relationship, you can say, in the material world. Well, it's temporary, of course. But when we realize that Krishna is our source, and that's what Lord Brahma was thinking, what is my source? And this is a way we can understand that we can understand that we're not the ultimate creator. Because Atato Brahmadignas, now understand, what is your supreme source? Janmadi Ashyata. Everything comes from the Supreme Brahma. Janmadi, everything is born from the Supreme. Just in the same way the material form is born from the mother and the father. So everything is born. And Krishna says, Aham sarvasya pravavo matuk sarvam pravartate. Right? I am the source of everything material and spiritual. From me everything emanates. So Krishna is the source of everything. And tapasya means to give up material activities that stop our meditation and concentration on that source. You see? Therefore we don't overeat, we don't oversleep, we don't become overly involved in material activities, because that will distract us from concentration on the source. The Bhagavatam starts with Janmadi Ashyata, and then it says Param Satyam Dhimahi, meditate. This is the whole Bhagavatam in one verse. You should meditate on the Para Satyam, the absolute truth. Janma, how? At the beginning, as the source. So therefore, everything should be done, yajna, for Krishna. All activities, material activities. And then tapasam. We should perform the austerities of following regulative principles, right? We all know, no illicit sex, no gambling, no intoxication, no meat eating, right? And even beyond that, excessive eating and excessive, you know, we should be a little austere. Not so that we come mad through over-pushing it, but we should not speak unnecessarily about mundane things. We should not, indulge in mundane political analysis in an overly way, and so on and so forth. This is all tapasya. We should concentrate on the Supreme. And that is becomes yajna. Just like in ekadashi, we fast, right? We fast from grains. That's a yajna. And it's a tapasya at the same time. It's offered to the Supreme Lord. Just like we're studying about Angira Muni. He was told by Lord Brahma, after he was mind-born from Lord Brahma, when Lord Brahma, it's in the Puranas, he glanced upon Urvati. Anyway, he was told to perform austerities and dedicate the result to the welfare of all living beings. So somebody who's already situated in transcendence, like a great Muni, Angira, he has no need to take the fruits of austerity. He can give them away. Because if you have attained transcendental consciousness, you have attained the end of all knowledge. However, to maintain that, Krishna explains later in the Gita, penance, sacrifice and austerity should never be given up because they purify even the great souls. So that means that if you lose your austerity, it will impurify, if you like, even a great soul. This is very, very important. Plus, it will teach people the right path. Of course, there are avadutas, but even then, the avadutas, they're not interested in matter as a source of happiness, as we explained. They're concentrating on spirit, and they get so much bliss and happiness from the realization of Supreme Spirit that they're not really interested in matter. The story about, everyone knows, Jamuna Acharya: when I think of mundane sensual enjoyments, I spit at it. So those, we're in the material world, we see these things going on, they may occur in the mind, but the transcendentalist is so attached to spirit, realization of Lord Chaitanya, Gaur-Nitai, Baladev, Radha, Krishna, that anything that distracts him from that because of ingress of the material energy to his consciousness, it's not that he is repulsed by the material energy, but he doesn't want to lose one second of meditation on the Supreme Lord, because that's his attachment. So this shows us the superiority of transcendental consciousness. That the great sages, Yumuna Acharya there, he's saying, what is the purpose of this material enjoyment? It's dukkhalayam asashvatam. So when we're in the neophyte stage, we can be easily distracted. But we should therefore be engrossed in the descriptions of the joy of the transcendental world. And we should aspire to that. And very simple, to attain that, you just pray to, this is bhakti yoga, O Krishna, please make me your devotee. I nanda tanuja kinkaram, patita mam vishavavam budo, kripayat ava pankaja, stuti dali sadrisim vichintaya. O son of Nanda Maharaj, I'm your devotee, but I've fallen into the Maya. Please pick me up. Place me as an atom of dust. This is bhakti. We rely on the Supreme Lord. Material consciousness means we have this independence from the Supreme Lord. In the spiritual consciousness, bhakti yoga particularly, we don't perform austerities in a way, I'm going to achieve the Supreme. We appeal to the Supreme, you make me your devotee, Krishna. Now this is a special day, this is Baladev Jayanti. So by Guru, we get Krishna. By mercy of Krishna, Guru Krishna Prasadi by Bhakti Latabir. By mercy of Krishna, we get Guru, and then mercy of Guru, we get Krishna. So Guru teaches us the austerities and how to give them, offer them as yajna. So what's the next one? Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. We already discussed that. Everything is belonging to the Supreme Lord. Aham Mamati. We should stop false ego, thinking that everything is for my enjoyment. Of course, devoted. But we understand that all my paraphernalia, that belong to Krishna. Ishavasya idam sarva. Yat kincha. Everything in the universe, this material universe, what to speak of the spiritual universe, and we just think it all belongs to Krishna. And then suridam sarvabhutanam, yes, sarvabhuta means all living entities. Surit, Prabhupada explains that in Sanskrit there's three words for friend. One is bandhu. Bandhu means some relationship. It might be a work relationship, it might be a family relationship. So that is a friend. But then there's mitra, a more intimate friendship. But then suridam, surit is the third one, and Prabhupada explains that is a friend who is a well-wisher. Just like a mother. She's not just the friend of her child, but she's the very much the well-wisher. She is caring for that child. Whereas a friend might be just enjoying your company. That's okay, normal. But a surit is somebody who's concerned for your benefit. So Krishna is saying, I'm such a person. And why? If we understand, as we're explaining, that Krishna is the source, he's the father, aham pita maha, I am the seed-giving father, he is our father. We are his vibhinamsa. We're his mamayvamsa jivaloke, jivabhuta sanatana. We're his eternal expansion. But we're struggling, prakriti kani stashati. We're struggling in the material world with the mind and senses. So Krishna is well-wisher. So as Prabhupada used to always sign his letters, your ever well-wisher. So that is Guru Shakti. That is Guru. He is concerned for the spiritual welfare of everyone. Of course it may manifest as, you know, giving prasad or material assistance, but the ultimate idea is that people can spiritually awake. Just like we're reading in the Bhagavatam, Angira Muni, he gave the child to Chitraketu. Chitraketu wanted a son, and then he said, well, this will be a source of happiness, but also a source of unhappiness. But that unhappiness was good because it made Chitraketu materially renounced. Just like if you realize, if you read rather, the 11th canto, the Uddhava Gita, 11th canto, 7th to 29th, it's very important. That is the Uddhava Gita, the Paramahamsa Samhita. It is the Brahma. There, Krishna, the first section discusses Pingala, the entanglement of the pigeon and so on, and it's all because of attachment. Pingala, she's a prostitute, but she can't find any custom. So she's standing at the doorway and she just thinks, what a fool I am. I'm trying to present false love. Better I just give it all up and just rely on the Supreme Lord to sustain me. And it's explained there in the Bhagavatam that she felt relief at that point. She felt relief. Whereas the pigeon, the father pigeon, saw the mother pigeon and the children being captured by the cruel hunter. And he became numb because of attachment and he fell in the net. But Pingala, the story of Pingala follows on, and Pingala becomes completely detached. And she feels the bliss of liberation, kind of happiness, her giving up. And then there's another story there in the Uddhava Gita about the a hawk. He caught a piece of meat and then the other hawks were chasing him, so he let go of the meat and the other hawks chased the meat and he felt relief. So as soon as we're chasing something in this material world, we'll be in anxiety. So Krishna says, if you give up this endeavor to enjoy selfishly the material energy, gyatva mam shanti mrichati, then you become peaceful. Because na soshiti na kankshiti, brahma bhuta prasanatmina. When you have desire, hankering, this is burning the heart. Right? A young man falls in love with a woman. I can't live without her. He writes poetry. She writes back, don't bother me, I'm sending my father to beat you. So he feels anxiety. Soshiti. And then kankshiti. That's kankshiti. And then if he gets the girl, there's an intermediary stage, he thinks everyone is after my treasured wife. So he becomes in kunta, anxiety. And then eventually when the relationship ends by death or something, he laments. So this burns the heart. Na soshiti na kankshiti. Sama sarveshu bhuteshu. So that's the Brahma-Bhuta person, he's given up by spiritual knowledge, spiritual instruction. How does he give up? Not in an impersonal way. I just renounce like a Buddhist or a monist. No, he uses everything in the service of Krishna. And he feels very satisfaction. And Krishna, he's satisfied with what? Patram pushpam phalam toyam. He's not asking for a big thing. Everyone can find a leaf, a flower or some water and offer it to the Supreme Lord. Right? Raghunath Das, he was given one shalagram by Lord Chaitanya. And he said, just put 8 manjaris and offer water. Is that difficult? Grow a tulsi tree and offer some manjaris. And the Supreme Lord is satisfied. Huh? And then, so this is bhakti. We don't just give up. We actually use everything to give pleasure to Krishna. And that's not a hard thing to understand. For lifetime after lifetime, we've been trying to please our senses. Right? By cooking nice food. These fans. Can you turn? It's the top. Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, turn it down. It's like sitting under a hurricane. Yeah, that's the one. Yeah. Yeah, just turn it off. I don't need it. I mean, nobody else is. So, what were we talking about? So we've been pleasing our senses for so long, we just have to consider. And this is bhakti. Rishikesha Rishikena Sevanam Bhakti Uchite. Sava Upadi Vinaya Muktam Tat Pratena Niyamalam. Rishikesha Rishikena Sevanam Bhakti Uchite. When we realize that I am an angsa of Krishna, expanded Vibhinangsa, and I use my independent will to please Krishna, then you're watering the root of the tree, and then everything becomes, every part of the tree becomes satisfied, even all the lokas and all the Maheshwaram. And then we feel peace. Why? Because we enter into Vaikuntha. Right? This is Kuntha Loka, Soshiti, Kamshiti and all that. But Vaikuntha, the land of spirit, shantim, peaceful. No anxiety, no wrinkled brow, no tears in the eye, no frustration. And this is material life, all these different negative emotions. We become satisfied and we realize the Supreme Lord as our dearmost friend. So Krishna is our dearmost friend, our well-wisher all the time, even when we are ignoring him. But when we turn back to Krishna, we realize that. We feel great debt. We feel, this is wonderful. Krishna, even though I turned my back on Krishna, Bahirmukh, he still was paying attention. This is Vaishnavism. The monist thing, oh, God is so supreme, he doesn't care. No. Vaishnavism means that Krishna has a heart and he's caring. He's great and supreme. Therefore his heart is huge and unlimited. And his generosity is unlimited. And when we realize that to just a small extent, then we offer everything to Krishna. So, we'll finish on that point. And so, today is the day of Baladev. So he is within the heart, taking us to Krishna. Sri Baladev ki?
Yeah.
Hare Krishna Maha Mantra ki?
Yeah. Yeah.
Any question? Points of discussion? What was the first point? First section of the class? What does the transcendentalist do? He concentrates on spirit. Yes. And where is spirit? Is it in a distant place? Yes, it's within the heart of all living entities. Everyone is the expansion of Krishna. So in the Uddhava Gita, Krishna tells Uddhava, always pay your obeisances to the hogs, Kamal. That doesn't mean to say you go around embracing a snake, oh, you're part and parcel of Krishna. Or you pay your obeisances in the middle of a traffic jam. Like here. But you have this feeling of amanina maninena. You give respect. Because everyone is your sibling. Everyone is the expansion of Krishna, a family member. And if you concentrate on spirit, then you feel peaceful. So Kinishtadikari has no knowledge of these practices. If you want to become real Vaishnav, established in spirit, you have to train your mind through Baladev Shakti, Nityananda Shakti, to see spirit at every moment. Correct? Right? Yes? Question? Everyone satisfied? Everyone fixed in spirit? Yes. And how do you wake up that consciousness of spirit? And who is the ultimate point of spirit? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Just remember one thing, that if you want to go from the material energy to the spiritual energy, you must become non-envious. You see, the spiritual platform, everyone in the spiritual platform, whether it's Haridam or Golok, they're all non-envious. But in the material world, everyone is envious. Why? Because they're competing with the Supreme Lord. That's the root of their material consciousness. So how to destroy that root? That root is there in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, like we said. If you meditate on Krishna as your source, just like Lord Chaitanya, he told Mother Sachi. Mother Sachi said, please stay in Puri. That's so that when the Bengali Vaishnavs go to Rath Yatra, they'll bring news back about you. I'll know that you're okay. So Lord Chaitanya said to Mother Sachi, Mother Sachi, of course your order is sublime. You've given me this body with which I am serving Sri Krishna. So if we understand, like Lord Chaitanya is teaching us there, our obligation to our source, and our source is Krishna. Krishna has given us existence. He's given us the chance of eternal life, of bliss and knowledge. Then when we meditate on that part, Param Satya, Krishna as the source, then how can we maintain a sense of competitiveness? Just like when we understand our mother and father who've cared for us our whole life, how can we be angry with them? How can we maintain a negative attitude? And then once that positive attitude is there from Krishna, understanding that he's the source, then we will lose all sense of envy and duality in this material world. And we'll be able to cross into Vaikuntha, the realm of non-envious behavior. And then, from that platform, we can become Suridam Sarvabhutanam, just like Baladev, just like Guru Parampara, just like Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, like Srila Bhakti Vedanta, like Bhakti Vinod Thakur, like all the great acharyas, like Angira Muni, like Narada, only thinking, what is the benefit of the living entities? That is the sign of the Vaishnava. The idea that the Vaishnava tucks himself away and joins spirit, well, that may be there to some extent. But we see with the six Goswamis, they were Nana Shastra Vichara Naika Nipano Sandharma Samstapako. They were always writing commentary on the Shastra and producing it for the benefit of the people. They became Surit. Whereas in the material world, everyone is trying to exploit. In the spiritual world, everyone is trying to give benefit. And that is sadhu, right? We all know. What is a sadhu? It's somebody who is pure in heart. It's as simple as that. So we can lose this crippling. And this is what the Bhagavatam is. Second verse, what? Paramonimacharanam satam. The Bhagavatam is understandable by those who are pure in heart. And that means they are happy in their relationship. I nanda tanuja kinkaram. I'm your kinkara. Jivera nichera krishnadas. So it's easy to be a servant of Krishna when we realize he is our creator, he is our source. He has brought me into existence. And that is a wonderful thing, that we've all been blessed in that way. Srila Prabhupada, Sri Baladev, Sri Krishna ki. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Jai. Thank you very much.